Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Buddy got us a couple in the first half, then Elijah got going. And, you know, you play against zones, you got to make some of those shots. I thought Marek did a good job in the middle, but the difference in the game is Pascal played in the second half. You know, he forgot to be there the first half, but the second half, he's active. When he plays like that, we're a different team. Tyus had 9 assists. I know that's a record for him. Marek had 5 again. There's not many forwards that have a 2-to-1 assist ratio, and he does that. He's a tremendous passer. 24-12 rebounds in the first half. You know, there's no excuse for that. But we have to rebound better than we did tonight. A lot of more long rebounds, but we still got to go. We got to be able to get those rebounds.
I mean, we're just playing with energy. We're active. We're talking on the defensive end. We're being aggressive on the offensive end. If we have a shot, we're taking it. And you can't think about it. You just have to have confidence taking the shots.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
What's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, please subscribe. We appreciate that. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We are the only Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving you, the fans, a platform. All right, well, hey, Syracuse improves to 14-5 overall, 5-1 in the ACC. We got through our first 6. 5-1 was what we were shooting for, and that's what we got. So,
damn right.
Hitting a season high, 14 threes, and everyone kind of getting in on the action there. You'll hear from us. We'll hear from you and the fan feedback. And Cuse will have to overcome a quick turnaround. They're going to head to Blacksburg to face Virginia Tech Saturday, January 26th at 8 p.m. Nice primetime game on ESPN. We'll let you know what to expect. But first, you need tickets. I need tickets. We all need tickets. Right? We all need tickets to something. Everybody's got tickets to something, right? Well, the official ticket provider of the Armchair Media Network, where Joe and I cover Syracuse basketball football for, is Tix Blitz. Unlike other ticket providers that sneak in extra fees and unexplained service charges, at Tix Blitz, the price you see is the price you pay. Unnecessary fees should not prevent you from seeing the sporting event or concert that you want to go see. So go visit TixBlitz.com and enter the promo code ARMCHAIR at checkout to receive 5% off your total ticket purchase. That's TixBlitz, TixBlitz.com, promo code ARMCHAIR. You know, go there. Shop around. I mean, it's online, man. You know, shop around. If it ain't the best price, don't use it. If it is, the price you see is the price you pay. It Tix Blitz, guaranteed seats, guaranteed emotions. So, all right, Joe.
Yeah.
We're going to jump right in, right? We have no news. We got a quick turnaround. This episode's only going to be green for like 24 hours. Almost exactly. So let's go. Syracuse improves to 19-8 in the all-time series versus Miami with a 73-53 win. Now, we've talked plenty about putting teams away in the second half. We've mentioned it numerous times. And the Orange, they've had some decent second halves, but they flat out crushed Miami in the last 20 minutes of this game. The size of Syracuse, I think, smothered the Hurricanes' offense. It was just overwhelming. Miami is a team coming into the game averaging 46% from the field, and they also had 5 guys averaging double digits each game. The Syracuse defense held them 33.9% overall from the field, and only 1 guy in double digits. Hughes led the Orange with 22 points, a monster block, and a come-from-behind stuff to top it off. Buddy followed up Hughes with 12 points, and he's just starting to become a shooting threat out there. If he's open, he's going to take it, and he's getting the confidence. And some of them 50% for the past few games are falling. So that's excellent.
That's what I'm saying. Since ACC play, I'm pretty sure it's flip a coin and it might go in.
Exactly. He went 4-for-7 overall. Tyus with 10 points. He had 9 assists. Now, that's the most for any Syracuse player so far this year, and that's a personal career high for him. He also had 5 rebounds. Just excellent. He scored six. He had 6 rebounds?
Yeah. Okay. I see five defense, 1 offense. Okay. That's what I see.
All right. Sorry. That's okay. Yeah, hey, correct. If I'm wrong, correct me. Syracuse has a team assistant.
No, we never get through the show.
There he is. Syracuse has a team assisted on 22 of 26 of their field goals, which is phenomenal. That is freaking awesome. Mark hit the 5-5-5, 5 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and the game was pretty flat. Pace-wise until he came in. It's just another dimension he adds to the team. We've talked about that. Chukwu, he had a hard time chasing some rebounds early and was benched for most of the first half, but he made up for it in the second. He played just a ton of energy, a ton of hustle. He was leaving his feet. 4 rebounds, 6 points, 5 blocks. Here's the good. As a team, Syracuse shot overall from the floor 50%. That's awesome. 46.7 from distance. They hit 14 of 30 from distance. That's only one shy of tying the school record for the 6th time, which is 15 in one game for 3-point shots. 7-for-8 from the line. That's that's a much welcomed improvement.
Yeah.
Now the bad. Syracuse gets out rebounded by a small Miami team. Okay, Syracuse ranks as the tallest team in the nation. Okay, this is like 2 years running too.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. And Miami ranks 238th. So out of what? 231?
They're statistically the smallest team in the ACC.
Yeah. Now, I know there was some crazy trajectories, and, you can go ahead and make an argument there, but they got smoked, man. 39-27, 15-3 on the offensive end. The second chance points favored Miami, 19-6. So, Joe, the Orange stay hot from distance, stay hot from just about everywhere on the court, really, but rebounding is still consistently a struggle. Seemingly. Besides the Duke game, it's really kind of been touch and go. So, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I think that's just a lot of just playing 2-3 zone so much. Again, when you're in a 2-3 zone and you're moving around so much, you don't really, it's hard to get a body on every other opponent. And you're kind of just trying to it's more like the effort of getting to the ball, seeing where it bounces. Miami had 21 missed 3-pointers. So a lot of times long shots equal long rebounds. And so there was a bunch of times where down low we were in position to get the rebound, but because it was a long 3-point shot miss off the back of the rim, it's just kind of either knocking it out like a little volleyball tap out to the guards or just the rebound straight going to the guards. I think there was just a lot of bounces like that. So
a couple of them on the other side of the court. Bounce past half court a couple times.
Yeah. Again, when we shoot that percentage, we win the turnover battle, and we have those kind of steal and block numbers that we talked about. Last week it was 18. This week it was 18 with 7 steals and 11 blocks. Sorry, last game. And again, like we talked about, I think we're seeing Coach Boeheim. I hate that we actually have to
like
you said, kind of mad scientist. He's going around and he's figuring out what's what, who's who. If your effort's not there, if your game's not there, he's quick to pull you out and put somebody in because, again, we have depth and that creates competition. And, if you want to kind of light a fire under a starter's butt, it's take them out early and let a reserve go out there and hit 2 or 3 threes. And, now the guy wants to go out there and prove himself. And that helps the whole team overall with the depth. And just last year, you knew what you had. You saw it every game. This year, somebody goes out, we got a chance that Buddy could come in and do something, or Dolje can come in and have a couple assists, or you sit Frank for a little while. There's just so many combinations. And I just think that you're starting to see offense and a team that's starting to gel. I mean, it wasn't so long ago that it didn't seem anyway that we lost about 2 games in a row to Buffalo and Old Dominion.
I know. And the season was over. You remember?
the season, exactly. The season was over. We didn't even know if we were going to be able to get an NIT bid.
I know, right?
We're seven and four. We're 7-4 in the non-conference, and all of a sudden you blink and we're 14-5. We win 7 of our last 8, and we're looking as good as we've looked all year.
Best full game. Now, I know, kind of a subpar team. I mean, ACC play is ACC play, and they really haven't gotten smoked too hard. They've lost a lot of close games, and like you said, I think you mentioned in the last episode that they've actually led some of those games that they lost. They've led in the second half, but it was just not even close in the second half. And the difference was Chukwu. Like, and how many times has Boeheim said this? Have we said this?
Well, it's been a lot, dude.
What a difference.
It's the team. The team's playing different. The confidence is different. There's nobody absolutely. That seems like they're mad when somebody else gets a turn to go in there and get. I mean, last year, I can count on one hand how many times Brissett only played 26 minutes or Howard only played 27 minutes.
Oh, I know.
And,
like,
you
Tyus
know,
was the Iron right. Man last year. He was like the Johnny Flynn.
Right. So, I mean, Tyus Battle, he's still up there in 36, and Hughes played really, really good, too. But, unless you're on point and you're not making mistakes, then you're going to look to get those kind of minutes. And just to the way they're just playing as a team. Like, they're just playing unselfish. It seems like the defense is locked down between the amounts of steals and blocks that we're getting every single game.
It's just unbelievable.
I mean, some of those blocks were ridiculous last night. Brissett puts one in the first row of the crowd.
Hughes did too.
Oh, yeah. And Hughes had that one there.
The stuff where he came from behind.
Oh, behind him. Stuffed the dunk. Like, that's that's not easy to time. So, and then, like, again, the key, again, to me, one of the biggest things, too, that you didn't see a lot of last year is the assist numbers of the last two games.
No, we definitely did not see that last year.
17 assists last game. And then I think this game was 22. Dude, we didn't do that last year. We didn't have those kind of scoring options. Now you see Mark starting to get confident again. Chukwu all of a sudden looks like he knows how to score close to the basket. You got Buddy Boeheim, who's a three-point threat. Elijah Hughes, who's a huge three-point threat. I mean, you have those guys. I mean, you didn't have those shooters. So, I mean, the depth, the offense, the options, it's way better. And I think just, you know, again, it was finding the roles, starting to play as a team and getting that confidence. And now everyone's playing unselfishly. You see people on the sidelines laughing. I saw Jalen Carey laughing. He hasn't played good minutes in I don't know how many games, and he doesn't care. He's out there. You know, it wasn't the Frank Howard of a couple years ago or a couple players of a couple years ago. If they weren't in, then they weren't even in the game. Everyone's in the game. It's just a different looking team than it was that Old Dominion loss. So, I'm just excited, man. And again, and then for them to just, like what we talked about, just step on, you know, the gas and just finish it out and basically make it to where, like you said, there really wasn't a shot, wasn't close, didn't look close. I mean, we could have shut that out for 14 minutes to go.
It was so much fun. I mean, I don't want to act like it hasn't been like this lately, but as far as conference play goes, when was the last time you had that much fun just watching them just like beat up on a team? They just bullied them down the court.
The last couple of years, they've had to grind out everything.
Yeah, exactly. And you got Buddy Boeheim. So Frank Howard goes and sits. Buddy Boeheim comes in for a little bit. He right away goes like 2 for 3 within a couple minutes. And you're just like, and he had 2 back-to-back. And like, I mean, you can just feel it and you can see it. But my thing is, I'm so skeptical. I don't want to get like super excited because these were kind of the expectations we had coming into the season. And it was just took a while for them to fall into roles, like you said, to kind of gel, to kind of get the chemistry going. And there was the Frank Howard injury, you know, Jalen Carey at the point for a little bit, Tyus at the point for a little bit. Things just weren't, the pieces weren't in where they needed to be.
There are legit reasons why the growth, it kind of got stunted early in the season and really wasn't even really allowed to go forward during the off season when you kind of work out those kinks anyway. So again, it's one of those things where we knew we knew the talent we had coming back from last year, and then we saw the other guys that could come in and help, And again, it's that's the beauty of college basketball is you have all season to build into a team.
And
there's
right,
there's yeah. some teams that start off great in the beginning of the year, and by the end of the year, they're in shambles or there's certain situations going on, you know. So we're just a team that we kind of had a late start with everyone being healthy and especially them being mainly point guards and then having to add new people to pieces and with guys that were used to playing 35-plus minutes all year last year. I mean, it's going to be difficult. So, again, took a little bit of time, but I think we're starting to see the fruits of the labor here, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Holden, you know, our main focus doing the Miami preview was explaining how, like, deadly they are shooting. I mean,
yeah.
They were just awesome. And he had likes. I mean, he was hitting the floor every 5 minutes. He was picking himself up. And, you know, he can drive, but, man, did he get freaking.
Can't drive with 7'2 in there, man.
No.
He's 5'7".
I know. He's shorter than me, and I'm short. That's saying a lot.
He went 0 for 8 from the three-point line. I mean, he just had a rough game.
He had a rough game. Everybody did. You know, Likes was – he was 0 for 8 from three-point. As a team, they shot 8 for 29 from distance, 27.6%. That's like beginning of the year Syracuse numbers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just a bad night. And a great – another – I wouldn't say this is their first full game, but maybe, I don't know. It was good. It was probably one of the most fun games. Let's put it that way, because I don't know about the, I don't know, you know, there's so many variables. If you really want to be factual about it, the competition and everything, you know, but.
I think it was a very comparable game to Pittsburgh. I see Pittsburgh as a better deeper team than Miami.
Yeah.
But I think that they were both very comparable in the way that we played. It was just Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh seemed to fight a little bit harder at the end because it was a little bit closer.
Right.
I mean, so, Miami, we won by 20, and we were up by more than that.
Right, exactly. Well, before we say any more, you want to just do some fan feedback or what?
Do we have to?
We have to. This is.
It's all good.
The Q's Motion Podcast.
I look forward to it, okay. Especially after a win. I was just joking. Let's go.
All right,
bring it on.
Let's do it.
It's time to hear from you, the loud mouths from the Loud House, the best damn college sports fans in the nation.
Y'all know what to do. Go to Facebook, go to Twitter, after the game, during the game. You can talk with us. You can do, we're on there. Joe's a ghost. He's a ghost on Twitter. He's there. You just can't see him. But I'm there, and you can interact with us. Go to @QSMilitia on Facebook and Twitter. I always propose a question at the end of every game, and, you know, feel free to comment. I try to do 5 and 5. Most of the time I do 5 from Twitter, 5 from Facebook, and I want to, again, I know I say this a lot, but I really mean it. Thank you. If you listen and you comment, we really appreciate that. So, @BiggestQSFan. Wow, I don't know, dude. I don't know.
That's
you know, I don't know.
It's pretty noble.
Yeah. As Boeheim and Frank mentioned, Chukwu was the key to the game. He changes a game when he does his job and scores a few points. Also, Buddy hitting his shots and everyone sharing the ball in the second half was huge. Yeah, the ball movement was excellent. It was like they just could not. You just can't. It's almost like it was like 3-on-5 out there in the second half at one point. You know what I mean? It was just. You remember those days where we used to be like, "Oh my gosh, Syracuse is just chasing the ball around. They look like a freaking cat chasing a laser."
And yeah.
That's what Miami looked like last night.
Well, that's what having 5 people on the court that are capable of scoring can do, or making a plays.
Yeah. Exactly. Mike. Look, this was not included, but I'm going to throw this out there because I assume Mike will probably listen. He was on a date with his wife, which is fantastic, Mike. But it was during an SU game. I don't know.
What do you mean? What's wrong with that?
I mean, I don't know. Are you watching the game on your date? Did you DVR it? Like, I don't know. I don't get it.
Whoa. I mean, are you talking about the mic that we know, or is it a mic that brought his, or was it like they went to the game on a date?
If not, now when? No.
Oh, okay.
No. They didn't, they probably went to, who knows, maybe went to Olive Garden. They had the game on.
Yeah, but if she's an SU fan, I mean, she just didn't want to eat in. Let's go out somewhere and watch the game.
Right.
That could be a date.
It could be a date, but I don't think that's what he did. But because he did comment, but he says he has nothing to say because he had to check the score periodically, probably holding his phone below the table. You know, one of those deals.
Oh yeah, I do that all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I get it now. I mean, he picked a good one. Picked a good one to not have to worry about.
Yeah, that's true. At MF Brightside. Oh, I think I know what that means. MF Brightside. Okay. Team moves ball better without O'Shea. He needs to wake up and take more efficient shots. Joe.
Honestly, I think he just has to hit the shots. I thought that a lot of the shots he took last night were pretty efficient.
They were.
I mean, a layup, a drive.
A jumper.
He forced a couple things. Yeah, there was a mid-range jumper that you should be able to make. It's a free throw line jumper. That's where teams kill us at when we play against 2-3 zone, if you got a guy there.
Wide open, too, by the way.
Yeah, and wide open. A couple wide open threes. There's no rhyme or reason. Didn't he hit a three?
No, he did not. He's shooting like 20-something percent from three right now.
He's been hitting 20-something percent from three. We had this conversation.
Yeah. He did hit all three of his free throws. He was 2-for-8 from the field in three free throws, finished with 7 points. I didn't mention him in the open because I don't want to keep singling him out, and I figured he'd pop up in fan feedback, so I just left it up to that. He's just
maybe
not
that's why
doing
he only
anything.
Played 26 minutes.
He's just not doing much right now, and he can, though. That's the thing. He's just not – the shots just aren't falling. So
yeah, but Bayheim's shown that he's going to play the guys that are effective and work, and if you –
Well, what do you think, though, about the comment, though? Do you think the ball moves better without him in there?
I don't think he's a ball stopper. I just think that, I mean, even up to Dolje and Chukwu, they've been able to make more plays than him the last two games. So if you got guys in there who are just as good defensively and it actually allows your defense to be bigger and it's helping you more on offense, then – you're going to sit the bench in the second half like you did yesterday.
Yeah, pretty much. At Kevy Q's, 2 V's. This is the team I expected at the start of the season. Yeah, I kind of had the same thoughts. I think I mentioned it earlier that our expectations were set high and we had some bumps in the road with some injuries, and it just took a while. I think, you know, we mentioned in the last episode the shooting has been there since Duke, since after the Georgia Tech loss. In the games before that too, but especially after that, you know, the shooting's been really good, and we wondered, is it going to stay? I mean, I think the test will come coming up at Virginia Tech, and we'll get into that. But definitely starting to meet our expectations.
Yeah, well, that's one of those things that was kind of weird to us too, right? Because like we saw Chukwu last year at the end of the year, and then you see him this year in the beginning, and you're like, it looks like he took like 3 steps back.
Well, yeah, I know. Well, Jim says he pulled him in the first half because he never left his feet.
Right. So some of the things are unexplainable. I mean, you can talk about the offense with the point guards not being there and stuff like that. But some of the other things that concern me, obviously, is you bring or what, you know, kind of has come to light is, you know, obviously you have all those guys that went to the Sweet 16. So, you know, you get a little bit when you probably shouldn't have. So they probably got a little bit of false security. False sense of security, thinking that they might not have to work as hard or they'll be better than what they are. Bring in some new guys, new roles. It's going to take minutes. It's going to take shots. And you hear, I don't know if it was Battle. I think it was Battle. I don't know if it was after Miami. If it was, you heard some, it was in a player interview, and he talked about they were asking what was different than the beginning of the season. And he said sense of urgency.
Yeah, that was after the
the pit, right? So my whole thing is that you didn't have a sense of urgency. You know,
right.
you have all these new guys. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So, like, they thought that they were going to be able to roll through some teams because, you know, and now they lost some games that they probably shouldn't have that are a little embarrassing. And now it's a sense of urgency to get back on track to probably where you should be. And with all the everything going on as far as the internal stuff with roles and minutes and everything, that stuff, there's really no time limit. Sometimes that can ruin a whole season. So to see them actually starting to play as a team is a very, very positive sign because, like, again, we talked about 7-4 in a non-conference. For a minute there, that did not look good.
No, it did not look good, and we were nervous, but the resume is shaping up. At Scozacuse, they took care of business with off nights from Battle and Brissett. Don't want them falling in love with the three. March Madness is a possession game. What gives with Carey? He needs more playing time. So, okay. They took care of business with off nights from Battle. Yeah. Battle, I don't think, really had an off night. I mean, he just didn't score that much. So, I mean, right. It's not always points. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, he had 9 assists and 6 rebounds. Yeah, can you give him
pretty,
a break?
That's pretty. He almost had a double-double with assists and points. That's pretty good. That's pretty
good. He only leads the ACC in points. I guess that's not enough.
When fans are used to him scoring and he's not scoring, they don't look at assists, they don't look at rebounds, you know, they look at points on the board. So
again, no, that's what it is. Everyone's all about the flashy stuff. So again, and falling in love with the three. If you're gonna have three players,
if they're gonna hit 50% of them or whatever it was, 46.
Yeah, if Elijah Hughes is gonna go 6-9 and Boeheim's gonna go 3-6,
46.7.
What's that?
46.7% as a team.
Yeah, well, it was 46.7, but you take away Tyus Battle and Brissett, and close to the 60 mark. Yeah, everyone else shot at least 50% or better. So, there were some guys out there that had, if Mark comes out and he hits a wide open three, I'm not going to care if he shoots another one.
He was 50%.
He was 1-2. Yeah. And Frank Howard came out, and Frank Howard, he played pretty good the first half. It just seems like we have so many options that if one person's not good the first half, a couple guys are there to pick them up. And then those guys might not necessarily be good in the second half, but then somebody else steps up to pick, So as the other teams are changing and moving their defensive priorities, our offense, we're able to move that and find the other matchups and that are good for our offense, and we're scoring. And it's just awesome to see that we have – 5 guys or more that can come out there and play good offense and be effective and still be that good on defense too. It's been awesome the last 2 games, man.
What gives with Carey? He needs more playing time. He finished with, is that kind of like the mad scientist theory where, it's just not a good matchup. Jim Boeheim didn't feel like it was a good matchup to put Carey in. He got some garbage time at the end of the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't think there's enough room for everybody. And I think it was going to be one of those things where, am I going to go with – I think it came down to Buddy or Jalen Carey. And Jalen Carey's been dealing with some injuries, and I think Buddy Boeheim, although Jalen Carey I think is probably better defensively and more athletic and quicker, he makes some mistakes. And Buddy is really kind of what we need. We kind of need that spot-up jump shot shooter, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we don't need a sophomore Frank Howard. You know what I'm saying? I don't mean that to talk down to Frank Howard or to Jalen Carey. It's just
no. It was a rough year for Frank.
The role that Jalen Carey plays not needed with Frank Howard there playing effective.
It's the depth. It's the depth. He's a freshman. He's got to wait his turn, kind of type thing.
Yeah, that's kind of the breaks. And again, he's had random injuries too. He's got a shoulder injury. He had the ankle injury from March Madness. And that's why he had a late start there. So
and he's gonna be on the court, 20 plus minutes next year. So
it's one of those things where you gotta wait your turn. And so it's nowadays everyone's all about instant gratification, getting in there and playing. And if I don't, I'm gonna transfer. But when were the days where? I remember the days where if barring you being really really good or that team being really really bad or not having a lot of depth or injuries, like you're getting redshirted and you were waiting until your redshirt.
Yeah,
freshman, redshirt, sophomore year to start putting your time in.
We were shocked that we didn't get any redshirts this year. In fact, you were big on the Buddy redshirt. I agreed with you. That was originally your point. I agreed with you, but now I'm starting to.
No, you can't argue now.
Right,
you can't argue now. My whole thing was based upon the past of Boeheim and how he subbed. And he usually doesn't go that deep. And I just didn't think – I thought that there was going to be a spot basically where you could redshirt two players and still have enough depth to maximize your potential this year.
Right. At G Platt 7, glad to see Elijah get his due recognition. He is awesome. However, live by the three, .. glad they went down this time, but tomorrow night we might need to scrap more in the paint, take it to them. Well, I guess in theory, the way Jim would play it out is if they're not falling, you're gonna have to switch change your game plan, right? Or if they fall, you stick with it.
Well, again, it comes down to what we talked about, this it's the zone.
Right,
if you're playing exactly against the zone, you got to make shots. You got to make jumpers.
And like Tyus said, he was the one at the end of the montage at the beginning of the show. By the way, if you didn't know, he said, we got open shots, we're going to take them. Like a confidence there, and if we got open looks, we're going to take them. And they got guys that can hit them, except for Brissett. He doesn't need to be taking that shot. But if he gets an open one, if Brissett gets an open one, though, I'm fine with him taking it, I guess.
You have to. The thing is you have to take it because you have to be. If you don't take those shots, and that's the same thing they talk about Merrick. And honestly, to be perfectly honest with you, obviously I didn't play, but when I played like ball and stuff, I was more like the guy like Merrick who was going around doing the hustle stuff. And you get to a point where, I don't shoot. Well, guess what? They're not going to guard you out there, and it's just going to make it more difficult for everybody else. So you have to be.
He passed up another one last night.
He did. He passed up a couple, and he's got to be. You got to be
aggressive.
You got to be a threat.
You got to be a threat. Yeah.
You got to at least prove that you're going to. If you go out there and you're wide open, just take that shot confidently, because that's going to instill something in that defense. So like, oh, he must know something But if you just keep not taking the shot, then eventually the defender's like, he ain't going to take it. And the more and more he's going to back off and he's going to help. So you got to be a threat. Otherwise, you're just hurting your offense.
Yep. Jay on Facebook says, I feel like this was the most efficient offensive game I've ever seen from the Qs. Well, I mean, that's going back in time.
It's hard to say ever. There's so many games, so many years. I mean,
you didn't see much isolation at all. When the ball moves, it finds its way to the basket. Great all-around game. It was a great all-around game. The ball movement has been there. The ball movement, for some reason, this year it is different. And is it the handlers? I mean, Mark is finding the backdoor cut all the time. And people are reading him. And there's chemistry between Mark and these guys. Especially, Chukwu and even Brissett and Hughes. They're all cutting right there, and that's we've missed that for a couple of years. We haven't had that kind of threat.
No, yeah. And again, that's another thing when you talk about stuff like that. That's where you get the assist numbers. And on top of that, so many times in the past, especially last year, like they talk about, it's all isolation. So what are you doing? You're trying to get the ball to Brissett or Battle or Howard, and they're just going to take it one-on-one. So you get the defenders are on them trying to basically ball guard them. And when you overplay people to try to stop them from getting the ball, that's where that backdoor cut is there. So in the past, we haven't had it because we've had enough. We haven't had five potential scorers on the court at the same time. So there's always other people helping. There's always other people picking up passing lanes so that the other players can overplay people. This year, they can't do that, and that opens up everything. So now you backdoor cut somebody, and now that person has to worry about that. So now he can't overplay him. So now Battle can get the ball a little bit easier. Maybe he can come off a pick for a wide open jumper. So it opens up everything. The more versatile you are, just like any other sport, when you go talk about NFL, football, anything, you can't just be a passing team or a running team. You have to be versatile. You can't just be good at offense or defense or special. You have to be good at all of it, and you have to be versatile. And when you do that stuff, it just makes everything else easier. So like you said, missing that, absolutely. And do I think that has something to do with the assist numbers and the ball movement? Absolutely.
Yeah. Anthony says, been waiting for this Syracuse team to play up to their potential. What a great game. Yeah, absolutely, Anthony. I mean, in a nutshell, we knew it was there. I mean, we've talked about it. It's a talented bunch of guys, and they all have their own little niche, and it's coming. It seems like it's coming together. Hopefully we can keep it up. I mean, Joe P. great W, battle on O'Shea not having their best games, and other guys stepping up. Great D, played with confidence and poise. Keep getting better. On to the next one. Let's go. Yeah, the next one, and we're going to talk about it here in a second. But
Joey, yeah. One game at a time.
Nick says, best offensive output this season. Passing was good, and they were taking the right shots. Magic Johnson is getting good with the backdoor cut passes. Hughes was playing great on both ends of the floor. Tyus had a quiet night, and we still won by 20. Everyone played well. Hopefully they can shoot like that against Virginia Tech. So Virginia Tech, a hostile place to play. I guess you could compare it to, like, you could almost compare it, like, size-wise, like Cameron Indoor, right? Like 10,000, 12,000. Cameron Indoor.
No.
But, best offensive output this season. Yeah, I think the numbers are pretty close to that, especially with the 14 threes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And with the assists, yeah, I would agree with that. I think
there was a point there in the second half where they looked so confident.
I know.
It just seemed like
just
everything
playing.
Was going in. It was just...
Yeah, they were just playing around with them.
It seemed like it.
I think I saw a tweet, and I can't read... Her name's Amanda, I believe, and I can't remember her Twitter handle, but it said, someone get your kid off the court.
What?
Someone get your kid off the court. He's wearing number zero. Likes.
Oh, jeez.
He looks like a little freaking dwarf out there. Brandon, who is not a fan of punctuation, says... when we have a center who plays like a center, we are a top five team. The look and feel of this team is almost like a light switch went off and they play at another level. I am not worried about VT. They are more so way overhyped. I truly think this is a better road team than a home team. Well, okay, wait, hold on. We're a top five team when it's, I mean, I don't know about a top five team, but we can hang with just about anybody. And we did go into Cameron Indoor and beat Duke, and Chukwu had a great game, right? So he's got a point.
Yeah.
The light switch, Joe. That's a good point because it clicked after Georgia Tech loss. You know, it was a home loss. Locker room was quiet. Everybody was drab. You know,
I think Georgia Tech was more of an anomaly than, I think it clicked after Old Dominion.
Okay.
You know, I think you get that fourth non-conference loss, and you're like, okay. You know, with two more non-conference games to go, and you're like, all right, we got to – and that's what I think Battle was talking about, the sense of urgency, because they were in waters, like we talked about, as far as non-conference, where they historically don't make the tournament.
Right.
So – there was absolutely at that time a reason to be nervous again, a long season. But historically for us, four losses or more in the non-conference don't really bode well.
So never made the tournament with four non-conference losses. Never.
Right. Exactly. So I can see what they're talking about with, you know, the sense of urgency and everything like that. So I think it happened far before the Georgia Tech, because, you know, we did go on the road and beat Notre Dame. I think we won another game before we lost Georgia Tech anyway, but I don't know, man. I just think that I don't know. I'm just glad to see that the positivity from, you know, his quotes or his tweets from,
yeah, because Brandon's doom and gloom sometimes. He also says he's not worried about Virginia Tech. He thinks they're overhyped. I will say this. I wouldn't say I'm not worried about Virginia Tech, but I am. I do believe that they're a top 25 team, but they're. I think they're ranked 10th right now. Before the new rankings come out, they won't be. After the new rankings come out, I should say. I don't think they're a top 10 team, but they're definitely a top 25 team. So
yeah.
I think I called them overrated on the show earlier in the year, and I think they are a little bit. But so that wraps that up. Do we want to talk about Virginia Tech? Speaking of Virginia Tech, we might as well, right? All right, Syracuse heads south Saturday. That is tomorrow for us as we record this episode, January 26th, to play Virginia Tech at 8 p.m. The game will be on ESPN. Syracuse holds the all-time series lead with Virginia Tech 9-3. Two of those Hokies wins coming in the first two games that they ever met, the first of which was in 1976. After those first two games, Syracuse went 8-0. Tech sits at 15-3 overall and 4-2 in the ACC. They got four guys averaging double digits. I'm just going to call him Alexander Walker, who's pulling in 18.3 points a game and is shooting 54.8% from the field. They got shooters all over the place, actually, when you look at their overall stats for the year. As a team, they're really efficient, 49.7 from the field and 42 from three. Wins in the ACC over Boston College, Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, and Notre Dame. Losses to UVA and UNC, where both of those games, they got pretty much smoked in both of those games. Joe, Syracuse is still one of the three teams that are undefeated in the country on the road. Tennessee, Syracuse, and Duke. They're going to play a team who is undefeated at home. And someone's got to lose.
Yeah, well, something's got to give, Sean. And it's not. I'm not on the Brandon bandwagon as far as saying I'm not worried about this team, because I am. Because, again, like you said, they are a shooting team. And yeah, I feel like Buzz Williams. I mean, I love the guy as a coach. But
he's awesome as a coach.
Yeah, he is. And I thought the same thing with Marquette when he was there when we were in the Big East. And then we left, and it was like, all right. And then he came to Virginia Tech.
And he's like, what the hell?
Why is he following us and haunting us?
Yeah, I know. He sweats a lot, though.
I don't care about that. But
just saying, as a side note, he sweats a lot.
Well, thanks for that stat.
No problem.
That's just, again, I mean, when you have four players that have shot over 73 pointers.
And they're nailing them.
Well, yeah.
They're nailing them. At home, especially. They're tough at home.
Right. And again, that's just the type of team that's going to be. I mean, if they're hitting their shots, they're hitting their shots.
And that's how it's. You know, it comes down to defense, right? It's going to come down to the zone, and then can they hit those shots with the pressure?
Right. And again, I think that you have a fair. When Brandon said something about he's overhyped, and I know I talked to you, and you talked about going and looking. Yeah, they're undefeated at home. All three of their losses have come on the road, and I mean, at Penn State, it's a formidable team. So I can't. And that's early in nine conference, and then the other ones at North Carolina, and
at UVA.
At UVA and at North Carolina.
Both tough, but they got smoked in those games.
Right, and when you look at the teams that they beat, it's like Notre Dame. Wake Forest.
The good ones, yeah.
Yeah, they beat Georgia Tech by three. So it's nice to know that some kind of semblance of a zone gave them problems, but I think that they just really shot bad. So again, like you said, it's going to come down to it's going to come down to obviously just if we play the way that we've been playing, then I do like our chances. But again, I really do think it comes down to how they shoot, man. I mean, realistically.
Yeah, but and like I tweeted this out last night. I mean, it seems that the Syracuse defense, they're really the numbers coming into a game for an opposing offense. Playing against Syracuse. I mean, look at Duke. Duke was shooting good too. I mean, they were decent. Yeah. They didn't have the numbers that Virginia Tech had. But Virginia Tech, you know, their non-conference was, you mentioned Penn State, but and what was it, Purdue?
Purdue was the one real good one they had, yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, their non-conference games weren't that impressive. Just the matchups themselves weren't that impressive.
So right.
They could be, you know, they could be riding off of those numbers early in the season. I mean, if you're, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I thought they were overrated. I still think they're dangerous. I mean, you got it to be that efficient on offense. You got to hit the shots, which means you can hit the shots, which is what scares me. But I mean,
well, Syracuse, a bunch of their main players have been there for a while too. I mean,
everybody knows Blackshear, right? So.
Well, yeah, Blackshear's given us problems. Matt Hill, Justin Robinson, and Ty Outlaw are three guards that get a majority of the minutes, and they're all seniors. And then Nickel Alexander Walker.
He's a sophomore.
He's a sophomore, but he's leading the team in scoring.
It's a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you look at that, and then when you look at the three-pointers shooting, it's Ty Outlaw, Justin Robinson, Amanda Hill, and then Alexander Walker.
Yeah, but so, those other guys aren't hucking them up like Walker is.
No. Ahmad Hill's got 100. He's shot 104. He's made 46 out of 104.
Okay. And Alexander Walker is shooting 44% from behind the arc. So.
Yeah, 35 of 79.
Yeah.
So. The other guy, Justin Robinson's 27 of 73. Ty Outlaw, 39 of 82. So they have guys that can shoot, and there are seniors that have played against the zone. So, I mean, we're going to have to match them. If they come out and they don't shoot well, then that's just going to be a plus for us. But I don't think that we can really assume that, considering their numbers at home.
Well, the adversity, I mean, when you look at Syracuse undefeated on the road in 3-0, right? True road games, right? Is that 3-0? 3-0. And then, you know, you've got, you know, Virginia Tech is undefeated at home. They haven't. I don't want to say they haven't played anybody, but they haven't. I think Syracuse will be the best team they've played at home. Let's put it that way. So, you know.
Right, and probably them or Purdue, yeah.
Right. And Syracuse beat Duke on the road.
Mm-hmm. So Notre Dame on the road, Ohio State on the road, they're confident team.
Something's going to happen. Well, Ohio State wasn't a true road game, though.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, it was. You're right.
No, the Big Ten or Big
Ten ACC.
Yeah, Big Ten
Challenge.
ACC champion challenge. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my thing. I don't know why I'm stuck on that, but it's like the make or break. One of these teams is going to have that record fall.
It's going to be a good game, man. And again, I think this is going to be one of those games where, obviously, it helps our resume. Doesn't hurt if we lose. It's not going to be an end all, but no, it's a hell of an opportunity. And on top of that, you're talking about, you know, an 8 p.m. start on ESPN on a Saturday night. I mean, that's primetime stuff right there. So,
absolutely. I mean, it's the epitome of primetime.
Right. So, I mean, again, I mean, we just have motive. We have the momentum, and we have confidence, and I mean, nobody wants to play against us right now.
I don't think so.
No, they're not. Don't get me wrong. Virginia Tech ain't going to back down, but we're playing as confident ball as we can, huh?
I don't think they're begging for us. I don't think any team's chomping at the bit to play us. I'll put it that way. I mean, if you're a competitor, you can say, "Oh, well, we want the best of the best," but you know,
sometimes you don't want the best of the best to come. You know, after a loss, or you know, they've lost two of their last three, and
that's true.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you kind of want to.
So
here's say an easy one.
Here's the thing, and I've watched a couple of their games. I mean, you know, they're always, you know, I live in Virginia, so
right.
They do start strong, and Syracuse starts slow. And if Syracuse gets down by a lot quick, kind of like they did against Duke. Virginia Tech statistically is a better offensive shooting team than Duke was.
Right.
When you boil the numbers down. So that worries me. Even last night, we were down against Miami. Miami was looking hot to start that game last night. So that type of stuff worries me. And being on the road, that place is going to get loud. And it's a tough place to play.
Right.
So that's what worries me. The home court advantage, I think, is what it comes down to for me. And I know Syracuse has been good on the road, but we'll just have to see how they respond, I think, is
right.
What it boils down to.
No, yeah, but you're talking about a quadrant one game that's going to be a quadrant one game for the whole season. So, I mean, you're not talking.
By the way, sorry, Joe, that the new net system has not been out yet, but Virginia Tech. Is 11th in the net right now.
Yeah.
So in that.
That's what I'm saying. They're not going anywhere with that. So.
Yeah, that you'd have to fall quite a ways, especially.
Well, dude. Yeah, I mean, dude, it's an away game, so they're gonna have to fall out of what, like 100.
175
or 100 or
75. So
yeah,
an away game is 1 through 75. So.
Right. So like what I said, I mean, we lose the game. And it doesn't hurt us. I mean, it hurts record-wise, but...
If we win, are we ranked on Monday?
Yeah, we should be.
Probably be pretty close, right?
Yeah, I would say it'd be real, real close.
Yeah, I think...
But again, like I said, I'm not worried about this. As long as we're kind of hanging on around that area, then I'm okay.
Well, Joe, do we have a line? Do we have a legit line? We don't. We don't, right?
Well,
but I would just like to mention, though, that you did lose your MyBookie pick last night, even though Syracuse won. You thought
I don't care.
You thought, I know. It never hurts when it's like that, right? Right. When your team wins and the you pick the other team to cover the spread and they don't, that doesn't hurt. But I don't think the line is out. I think we'll probably have to tweet that one out again. And it's just not like football. It's just we don't have it available.
The one that I saw on ESPN was 6 points.
Okay.
So.
Well.
But I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait till.
Joe's going to wait. But, you know, I mean, if you do want to get on some action, some betting action, there's one football game and one NFL football game left. Okay. You want to see the Patriots yeah. lose like me? I don't want to see the Patriots win. Do you? I don't.
Yeah.
look, make sure you're ready for the daily action by signing up at MyBookie. They pay fast when you win. Ownership really cares about good customer service. And whoever you bet on is just as important as who you're betting with. And if you want to make money during the Super Bowl, go to MyBookie. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Go check them out for yourself. Join MyBookie now and use the promo code QS25, and they'll offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll. That's promo code QS25 at MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. Remember, if you've never bet online, I would research it. If you have bet online, well, you know about the rollovers and all that stuff. You're familiar with it. Have at it. So...
yeah, buddy.
All right. So, well, what's your prediction, Joe? You got to at least give us something to bite on.
I mean,
no one can see you do that. Did you just give me the suck it symbol? Is that the
Gen X thing? That was like a, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't. I think that it's gonna be closer than six. Honestly, I think it's gonna
come down like that. Like it could be another overtime game, like a Duke game.
I mean,
you think it's gonna be high scoring? Do you think it's gonna be fast paced?
No. I don't think so.
No. Okay. All right.
Well. No, I think that our zone's gonna slow them down. I don't think they're an efficient team, so they're not gonna rush shots. I think a lot of it's gonna be just. Again, I mean, the pace could help both teams in certain situations, but again, limiting them to second chance, but you know, limiting the second chance points that they have.
Got to get rebounds. That's a good point.
And the turnovers is really, you know, that's my biggest thing. I'm kind of getting used to us getting out rebounded. So.
Well, we only committed 6 turnovers versus Miami. It's really good.
Right.
But there's.
Well, and how many did Miami commit?
13.
Right, so that can erase a rebound deficit. You know, sure. Just a rebound doesn't mean a points. You know what I mean? So you're losing possessions with turnovers. So I mean, I'll take that any day of the week. But well, again, that's just really what we have to do is just limit turnovers and limit the second chance points that they get. And again, it's probably going to come down to our shooting overall with KenPom. They're a higher percentage or a higher efficient offense. They're a top 10 efficient offense. I think it's 7th or something, but their defense is somewhere in the 60s. And then, you know, flip with us and we're 13th, 12th in defense and somewhere in the mid 70s in offense. So our offense has got to keep it going.
Yeah, they got to keep it going. And that's the thing with me. I just want to see the consistency. If they come out and they shoot good, I think they win the game. But we'll have to see. I think it's going to be another cardiac cues game. We got spared last night. Okay. Get prepared for Saturday. I want to thank all of you, obviously, for the fan feedback. It was really good fan feedback this game. And appreciate you going to Facebook and Twitter at Q's Militia and joining in the fun there. Thank you to MyBookie, Armchair All-Americans, Tix, Blitz, JP Mulligans. Go to JP Mulligans' Facebook page. Give them a like. They just gave out tickets again the other day for the Miami game, in fact. So go to their Facebook page. If you live in Syracuse, give them a like, and every once in a while you'll see that pop up. Like and share that post from them, from their page, and you're entered to win those tickets. Thanks, Shopping Town Barbershop, and thanks to all of you. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Q's Militia Podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe. We'll be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.